Well, we finished Romans 14 last week. Anybody got any idea what we're going to be talking about today? Romans 15 is correct. That is where we're at. And Romans 14 was about liberty and about the law of liberty and the law of love. And Romans 14:1 says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things." And so it really is, Romans 14 was about how we should not be judging or condemning people as they live out their faith, right? As they live out their beliefs. Nor should we force people to agree with us just because we have a different opinion. That we really have a responsibility to when we see somebody that may be in that has the wrong religious beliefs, our job is to educate and to correct by using scripture, by using our understanding of God's word, by argument, and to correct theology that way, but not by force, not by judgment or condemnation. And chapter 15 is really a continuation of that line of thought, dealing with the body, other believers, and how do we deal with people who maybe are weak in faith, maybe are struggling in their faith, maybe don't have the same convictions that we do. You know, a lot of times relationships, there's a lot of expectations, right? Unwritten, uncommunicated expectations. And when those expectations aren't met, what does that lead to? Frustration, right? And that frustration mounts, oftentimes without communication, until it boils over, right? And that's really not the way we ought to go. So let's start with talking about Romans chapter 15. We're going to start with verse 1 through 6. And it's talking about building up the weak. Building up the weak. It says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's important to remember here who Paul is writing to. He's writing to the Roman church. And what were the two parts of the Roman church that weren't getting along? Anybody remember? Exactly. The Jewish believers and the Gentiles, right? And the Gentiles were saying, hey, we don't need to follow the law. We don't need to do all those things. And the Jewish believers are saying, hey, this is exactly how God wants us to worship him. It's what he wrote down. So let's continue to worship God in this manner. And so Paul is saying that we who are strong in faith ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Now this word scruples, anybody heard that word before? It's not really a word that we use a lot. But the idea is the scruples are the rough edges or of somebody who's weak, or you could say the lack of productivity of somebody who's weak. If you think about if you worked at a place, right, and you get a new employee, right? And that new employee is learning. Are they able to do everything that an experienced employee is able to do? No. Okay? And so you have to bear with that as they learn. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to get things wrong, right? And the consequence of them getting things wrong, going slower, those mistakes, those are the scruples of the weak. Okay? Another way of thinking of it is the idea of people who are overcoming fears or frustrations or hurt, right? Carmen just finished up her coaching career, and I would imagine she would say that the best way to help somebody who is trying to push their game to the next level is to not to constantly berate them and tell them how horrible they are, right? And so we as Christians, I think some of the times we think of our Christian life as vertical, and that certainly is part of it, right? We have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. We even sometimes hear people say things like, you know, I have a relationship, not a religion, right? You ever heard that saying? I have a relationship, not a religion. Not true at all. Everybody has a religion. But we do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and sometimes we get so focused on that that we forget about the body of Christ, right? And the body of Christ is each one of us. And it's important for us to come together, not just to be served for myself, but to help each other in our Christian walk. And this is what Paul has in mind. You then who are strong, you then who are sitting there in judgment of other people because of the weakness of their faith, you bear with the scruples of the weak, not to please ourselves. Sometimes when we have things figured out a little bit, we start to think of ourselves as, I've arrived. You people need to get with the program, right? We kind of get that attitude. It's a little bit of a stuck-up attitude. And that's what Paul's addressing. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Right? What's the saying goes? That you're only as strong as the weakest link. Exactly. Right? And so which one of us in here is the weakest link? We got some hands going up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Where did Christ go and hang out? Did he go hang out with the religious leaders and wine and dine with them? No, he went to the lost. Right? He went to seek and save those who are lost. Right? And what did the Jewish leaders say? Why does he go hang out with those sinners? Why does he go hang out with those people? Doesn't he understand the law? Doesn't he understand how we're supposed to be separate, how we're supposed to be holy, how we're supposed to be better than everybody else? And by our being better than everybody else, then somebody who's going to just automatically say, I'm going to be a Christian because you're better than everybody else. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Does anybody ever have a spouse that isn't quite getting with the program? I mean, I know none of you guys here have ever had that problem, but anybody ever have a spouse that's just like, you know, they're struggling. They're going through a period where it's just everything is not coming together as they had hoped. Maybe your whole entire lifetime you could say, yeah, that's my spouse wrapped up in a nutshell, right? It's easy to get frustrated when we see people struggling because we want them to overcome. Right? That's why we get frustrated. If we expect them to fail, and they failed, we would be happy. Right? Like, hey, he got what he had coming. But we don't, right? When we see somebody struggling, we get frustrated because we don't want them to struggle. We want them to overcome. We want them to rise above. We want that child to be on that bicycle, riding that bicycle, and when he falls, and then he gets scared. And we're like, no, just keep going. Don't be afraid. Keep going. You can do this. I know if you just try a little harder, you can do this. And it's not that much different for adults. And if you think you got something figured out and you think you're strong, then help those who are weak. Don't live this life for yourself. It's not about you. Even Christ did not live his life for himself. Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You know, sometimes wives get a little bit critical towards their husbands, especially young wives, towards their young husbands, because they're making mistakes. And that wife will say, hey, step over here, buddy. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of it for you. And rather than dealing with the scruples of the weak and allowing him to grow up into a mature husband, we put him down, criticize him, and then he checks out. And he says, okay, you'll deal with that? I'll let you. And then little by little, he never ever grows into that person. And then we have a divorce. Now, is that the wife's fault? No, it's both of their faults. What is Paul saying here? Hey, when you see people struggling, don't cause more division. Bring them together. Encourage them. Help them. When you see somebody who is weak, go over there and encourage them. Help one another. And may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when there's disagreement in areas of faith, that we can come together and say, just as Richard said this morning in Sunday school, there is one body of Christ. And even when we have different convictions about different theologies, we are still of the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't 500 bodies of Christ. There's one body of Christ. And we ought to worship together. Build up the weak. Number two, sinners of the world, unite. Unite under Christ. Romans 15, 7 through 13 talks about how we are all together to come under Jesus Christ. It says, therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles, and sing to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall have hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ministered to the Jews, and he served the role of the Jewish Messiah. He came and fulfilled those promises. Obviously, there's some yet to be fulfilled when he returns. But he fulfilled those promises that were made to the Jewish patriarch. But he also came and ministered for the Gentiles. He became the Savior of the Gentiles, the Savior of the entire world, so that every single person could come under Christ and be united. No longer do we have to fight each other about nationality, ethnicity, gender, all of these things. We don't throw them off and say they don't exist. We say, no, they don't matter anymore. Because each one of us now can come directly under Christ and be united under Him. Sinners of the world, unite. This church is the fulfillment of that. We are united together under one name, and that name is Jesus. Number three is, Paul's going to kind of transition a little bit and talk about his ministry, which he has been talking about in this whole chapter. The ministry of Christ is his ministry. Romans 15, 14 through 21 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about I have fully preached the gospel of Christ, and so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see, and those who have not heard shall understand." Paul is saying that his ministry is to who? The Gentiles, right? His ministry is to the Gentiles. And what was his object? What was his purpose? What was he trying to accomplish? "That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministry of the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit." I want you to think about that for a second. Paul wasn't saying, "I hope that everybody will come and listen to me preach, so that I can have this wonderful, great reputation, and wherever I go, people will say, 'Oh, there's Paul. Everybody run over there and hear what he has to say.'" What was the purpose that he wanted to do? He wanted to make the offering of the Gentiles acceptable. Right? He's looking at these people who are coming into them and say, "Whoa, you got some work to do, buddy. You got some work to do in order for God to say, 'Yeah, you're doing well.' But that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to help you grow into maturity. Not to tear you down, not to make you feel bad, but to encourage you and build you up so that you will become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit." Paul is not building his own kingdom in the video room, right? He's not building his own kingdom at all. He's building the kingdom of Christ, building the kingdom of God. And so therefore he says, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God, and I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. That's humility, right? Does anybody like to say, "Hey, guess what I did?" Right? We all loved a little bit of praise, right? And what does Paul say? "I'm not even going to speak. I'm not going to talk about anything that I did on my own. Because I want you to follow Christ. I want to make the Gentiles obedient to Christ, not to me. And then the last thing he says in this passage is that he's not building on the foundations of others. He says, so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. You know, there's a lot of division in the church of people fighting over roles, names, accolades, whatever. Paul's saying, I'm not concerned about any of that. I'm just going to go out and serve God. I'm going to build my own ministry, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to work wherever He wants to. You know, that really should be our attitude. Somebody came to me one time who was a lady and said, what is your thoughts on a lady having a ministry? I said, you know what? Don't get worried about titles. Go out and serve God. Whatever God leads you to do, do it. Do it by your own convictions. Do what you believe is right. I don't believe a woman should be a pastor. I don't believe a woman should be an elder in the church. But there are so many things that can be done without those titles. God isn't holding anybody back from serving Him. But because we want these titles, now we have division. And Paul is saying, I'm not worried about any of that. I've made it my aim actually not to build on any other man's foundation. I'm not trying to take over somebody else's ministry. To him who he was announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. That really should be the heart of every Christian, is who is not being ministered to now? Not what ministry can I take over, right? But what ministry isn't being done? Who needs to hear about the grace of God in their life? Who isn't being reached that I can reach? And when we have that attitude, there will be no fighting until somebody starts to serve God and their ministry is blessed by God. And then guess what? There'll be a whole bunch of people who want to come in and say, hey, let me take that over for you. Right? And maybe it'll be time to do that. Maybe a transition will happen. But our job is to look around and say, how can I build up the body of Christ? How can I bring people into the body of Christ? Not fighting over other people's ministries. And the last thing that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 15 is Paul's concern in ministry. Verse 22 says, for this reason I also have been much hindered from coming to you, but now no longer having a place in these parts, that's the parts that he was ministering in, having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, Paul's planning a future missionary journey, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia. I don't know if you guys remember when we went through Philippians, right? That was the main church that he went to when he first entered into Macedonia. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this, and I have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you with a joy by the will of God, and may be refreshed together with you. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Paul had a concern for the Jewish believers, right? One of the things that Paul saw happening in the church at large was this separating of the Jewish church and the Gentile church. And he worked very hard to bring those two together, right? Even all the way back at the Acts 15 council, right? The elders of the church, the apostles, saw this thing happening and encouraged those who were going to be new in faith to help the poor. And the poor was the Christians living in Jerusalem. And so Paul, whenever he went out to a new church, sought to have them send an offering back to Jerusalem. And Paul is taking this offering to the Jewish church, and he's saying, pray with me, please pray with me, that the service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Those Jewish saints who are being persecuted for their faith, who are very poor, we pray that this gift to them might help them, might encourage them, might meet their needs. Paul had a concern for the Jewish believers. He also had a concern for the Jewish non-believers. What was his concern? Pray that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe. Paul said that Jewish people were enemies of the gospel, right? And they were. They were persecuting the church. Paul was one of those people. He switched sides. He started working with the church. But he had a great concern about Jewish leaders who were persecuting the church. And he's saying, pray that I would be delivered from these people. You know, today we have a lot of people that say we need to stand with Israel. We need to stand with Israel. I believe we should adopt Paul's view. We stand with the Jewish believers. We encourage them. We pray for them. But the nation of Israel is apostate. It is not serving God. It is not recognizing God. It is not living for God. And so while they might be political allies, we should not encourage their disobedience from God. We should encourage them to be obedient to God. And so we should not have this blind alliance with people who are not obedient to Christ. And lastly, Paul is concerned about division in the body. You know, there is a lot of ways that people can be pulled apart. There is a lot of ways that we can be divided. It's very difficult to have unity. It's something that you have to really strive for. It's something that you really have to work for. You know, the new generation has a new kind of music, a new way of doing things, a new expression. And the old people say, well, if it was good for us, it should be good for you. Right? If it was good for me, if I liked it, why don't you like it? There are so many ways that we can be divided, right? I like the colored windows. I like the brighter lights, the brighter room. There are so many ways that we can find reasons to disagree and to bicker and complain and to stop doing that which God brought us together to do, which is to encourage one another and build each other up in the faith. But Paul is saying, guys, this is not about you. It's about the body of Christ. It's about building each other up and encouraging one another in the faith. I loved what Paul. I loved what Richard ended his Sunday school lesson with, was that each one of us ought to bring something to church. a word, a song, a message of hope, something to encourage each other. That was really about what April was about this year, was everybody bring something, right? And we prayed together as a body, and we read scripture together as a body, and we shared testimonies together as a body. And we've had some times a little bit throughout the year since then. But every Sunday, you should be bringing something of encouragement to the body to help each other. Because is anybody in here needing encouragement every week? I know I am. This world is so full of negativity. It's so full of the testing of our faith that we need to come together and be encouraged by each other. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we have to be honest that we too fall prey to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We get proud very easily. We learn something, we learn your wisdom, and then we get proud. And we say, look at me, I got this all figured out. But Paul reminds us that without love, we really don't have anything. Without looking at our neighbor, our spouse, our child, our parents, through the eyes of love, and particularly God's love, we haven't really gotten much figured out. We sit here each week with a group of people who dress up on Sundays, but we struggle. We have our own battles that we're facing. We have our doubts and we have our fears. And so, Lord, I pray that we would open our eyes to see the ministry that we have. Not just on Sunday mornings to say an encouraging word, but throughout the week. The people that we come in contact at work and through our daily activities, they are needing hope. They need encouragement. We need encouragement. And when we go home, we often unwind and allow our tongue to complain and bring a bitter spirit into that situation. Let us continue the ministry of encouragement, especially in our own homes. Let us build each other up. Let us bear the scruples of the weak. Lord, we are weak sometimes. We need that encouragement. Let us find our encouragement in you, but let us be an encouragement to others. Lord, I pray for the men in this room, the men who are not in this room. Lord, as they go out to be those men, to lead their homes, to conquer the world and all the wiles of the devil. Lord, to take all the arrows that come at us. I pray that you would raise us up for that purpose. Let us not become fearful. Let us be strong in the face of opposition. Let us do that which we have been called to do. Not for ourselves, but for your glory. And let us band together. And Lord, I pray for the wives that they would come alongside their husbands and encourage them. Oh, they need encouragement. They need encouragement. Lord, I pray for the wives that they would see how good you are to their husband. Allow their husbands to show love to them. But Lord, I pray that they would put their faith and trust in you, not in their husbands. Because men fail. Men are weak. But you are strong. And you never fail us. And you love us no matter what. Lord, I pray for the children in this room, Lord, that they would not confuse the mistakes of their parents with the failings of your love. But Lord, that they would overcome, that they would love you even more as they see their parents trying to work out their faith. Lord, I pray that you would bless us because we need your blessings. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing,